Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Grady.
Father in heaven, once again we come before you, humbly asking for your guidance. We want to acknowledge that without your help, we cannot understand your truth. So Father, please speak to us. Send us your Holy Spirit. Remove any distraction, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to meet this man. His name is Alex Honnold. Now, Alex Honnold is one of the greatest rock climbers in the world. Now, he's not just any kind of rock climber. He does this climbing style called free solo. What does that mean? It means that he would go up without a rope or any protective equipment of any kind. Any little mistake would be fatal. Now, in some of the hardest part of his climb, an article describes that his fingers will have no more contact with the rock than most people have with the touchscreens of their phones. While his toes pressed towards the edges as thin as sticks of gum. So this is another picture of him. Taken by photographer Jimmy Chin for National Geographic. This is Alex on Thank God Ledge, 1,800 feet off the ground in Yosemite National Park. In 2008, he became the first rock climber ever to scale the Half Dome alone without a rope. Now, had he lost his balance, he would have fallen for 10 long seconds to his death. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way till 10 seconds, and then he dies. That's how high he was at. Now, how do you feel when you look at this photo? Some of you that don't like heights, like, I already get, you know, the shivers just by thinking about it. But this is a mystery even for the scientists. They want to find out, is Alex ever afraid of height? The follow-up question would be, is he even capable of being afraid? So they did an MRI scan on his brain. They flashed 200 images at a speed of channel surfing of disturbing images that should excite his amygdala. Now, amygdala is a part of the brain that is also called the fear center. So whenever you see a threat, that part of the brain is supposed to glow up. This is what they discovered. He compared his brain, this is on the right side, Alex's brain, to another climber about the same age. And you'll see on the left, there's that orange spot right on the crosshair. While on Alex's, you see none. Which means that the scientist concludes that Alex's brain shows no fear, no activity whatsoever. Now, this pictures that they show is gruesome pictures. We're talking about rock climbing photos like what you just saw, some child trafficking photos. I mean, these are pictures that are supposed to trigger you with feeling afraid. But nothing shows up in his brain. So the scientists learned that Alex was not afraid of death. He was able to train his mind in such a way that allows him to do things that otherwise would have been impossible, because he was not afraid. Now we're going to take a look at a couple of Bible verses. Let's switch gears a little bit. If you have your Bible, let's go to Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21, and we're going to answer a simple question. Does God call us to be faithful? Matthew 25, verse 21. The Bible says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" We can see from this text that the Lord appreciates faithfulness. Those who are faithful will enter into the kingdom. If you just jump down to verse 23, you'll see almost the exact same wording being repeated. Same message. When you're faithful, you enter the joy of the Lord. So does God call us to be faithful? Yes. He calls us to be faithful. But there is someone who does not want you to be faithful. Who's that? Satan. Satan, the adversary, does not want us to be faithful. And oftentimes, you'll see that Satan will threaten us with death to make us unfaithful. Now, we're going to go through three stories really fast. First story, Daniel chapter 3. You see the three Hebrew boys who really believe in God, who wanted to be faithful to the Lord. The king was so prideful, he erected this statue and say, everybody needs to bow down and worship. If not, you'll be thrown into fiery furnace. Death threat. But the boys were not afraid of death, so they remained faithful and chose not to bow down. Another story in the same book, Book of Daniel chapter 6, we find Daniel who remained faithful to God by praying three times a day. And then the king says, I'm going to make a mandate that nobody else can pray to any other god. What did Daniel do? Kept on praying. What was the consequence? Whoever prays to any other god will be thrown into the lion's den. You're going to be eaten by the lion. But Daniel was not afraid of death, and he remained faithful to God. Move forward to the end time. We read in Revelation chapter 13. The Bible says that if anyone chooses to be faithful to God and refuse the mark of the beast, he cannot buy or sell, and he will be killed. Death threat. And those that are not afraid of death will remain faithful to God. So I hope you see that all along throughout the Bible, we see that Satan always uses death threat to make us unfaithful to God. But those who are not afraid of death will remain faithful to God. And I believe that it is impossible to be faithful to God when we are still afraid of death. Do you want to be faithful? So the question is how? How can we be faithful? Because if I'm still afraid of death, there is a chance that I might just give in. That I might just give up God. Like the children's story today. They were afraid of death. And they chose to give up their faith and be unfaithful to God. So how? How can we be faithful and not be afraid of death? Now, being afraid of death is natural to us, right? God gave us amygdala for a reason, to protect us, so we don't be careless. And I think I should put out a disclaimer. I'm not encouraging anybody to be careless. This is a protection mechanism that the Lord has given us. But there are certain things that seems natural to us to be afraid of, like death, that is not really fitting when you put it together with what the Bible has to say. So if Alex, the climber, found a way to overcome his fear of height, can we overcome our fear of death? Now we're going to learn from the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at a series of verses. So put on your seatbelt. We might go through really fast. But first, let's turn our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. As you turn there, I'll give you a little bit of background. The Apostle Paul is one of the followers of Jesus who arguably has been through the most. Some of you might agree with that. Satan has really threatened him with death multiple times, and he has come very close to it, from being whipped, stoned, all the way to imprisoned and bitten by a venomous snake. Now, by the way, 2 Timothy was actually Paul's last letter. He wrote this when he was in prison, chained on both hands. So this is his last letter before he dies. Facing death threats, he gave us a secret how to overcome the fear of dying. Verse 11, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, what will happen to us? We shall also live with him. If we endure, verse 12, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. So Paul clearly believes that I overcome my fear of death because I believe in Jesus, that I know that if I die for him, he will bring me back to life. There's nothing to worry there. Well, does he have any basis for his belief? Let's go to verse 8, a couple verses back. Does he have any basis in believing that Jesus will resurrect him? Verse 8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, what happened to him? Was raised from where? From the dead, according to my gospel. Now he believes that Jesus himself was raised from the dead. Therefore, I can believe in Jesus and he'll bring me back from the dead as well. You'll notice that all these things when it comes to death really hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's go to another text. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Are we there? But now Christ is what? Risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21, for since by man came what? Death, by man, capital M, referring to Jesus, also came what? The resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Do you realize that the resurrection of Christ enables all the resurrection that comes after him? Which also means that if Christ did not come back to life, death will be the end for all of us. This is why resurrection is so important when it comes to our faith, especially when it comes to death. There will be no hope of resurrection if Jesus did not resurrect from the grave. Now, so far, Paul is basically saying, I'm not afraid of death because I believe in Jesus, who himself has been raised from the dead, and I know if I'm with him, I'll be alive too. He can give me eternal life. He can bring me back from death. All of us are called to be faithful, right? But Satan is not happy. And he will try to make us unfaithful by threatening to kill us. Here's a question of reflection. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to stand for the Lord? I know it's hard to think about death threats when we live in the country that is all the way for freedom. But we know the Bible says freedom is not going to last forever. Those who are really faithful to God will face persecution, and some of us will be killed. Maybe this is a time to really picture ourselves, maybe in front of a Supreme Court, about to receive a death sentence. What are you going to say? If you believe in Jesus who has overcome death, you shouldn't be afraid of death anymore. Amen? We shouldn't be afraid of death anymore. Yeah, the separation is saddening. We can't see our loved ones anymore. We can't see our families anymore. But this is not the end. And notice, the Lord never calls us to live for many years, but He calls us to live faithfully. Now, we're going to focus on 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. We're going to answer the question, okay, I want to believe in Jesus, but how can I know for sure if I will be resurrected? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, give us a secret. Talking about resurrection, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are whose? Christ at His coming. What does the text imply? If you are not Christ, if you don't belong to Christ, don't expect resurrection. Only those who pled their allegiance to Christ will be resurrected. So how do we know if we are Christ? I'm going to go through a couple of verses here. John 10, 17, Jesus Himself says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." In this text, Jesus shows who belongs to Him, His sheep. But what are the characteristics of His sheep that belongs to Jesus? Hear His voice. And follow Jesus. So those who are Christ, those who belong to Jesus, will obey Him. Right? Just like sheep. They recognize the voice of the shepherd. When they hear the voice of the shepherd, they know it's feeding time. Or it's bedtime. They know that the shepherd always has their best interest. Same thing with us. Christ is our shepherd. If we are His sheep, we should recognize His voice through His written word and follow it. When we obey Christ, we know that we are His. Here's another text, Galatians 5:24. Another way to see whether we are Christ. And those who are Christ have what? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. According to this text, how do we know if somebody belongs to Christ? They have denied the self. Right? The flesh with its passion and desire. Well, what are those passions and desire? Go to verse 19. The Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Those who are Christ will deny themselves of the urge to commit these things. And notice some of the things listed is also considered small things for us, like hatred. What's the big deal about hating my family? Turns out to be a pretty big deal. Because those who are Christ will deny themselves of that urge to be angry or to hate. What about contentions? Some people are contentious. Where wherever they go, they always find issues, conflicts, and it always blows up. Deny ourselves of those urge to blow things up. Then Christ will know that you are His.
So we, just from these two verses, we see that those who are Christ are those who hear His voice and obey Him, and also those who deny themselves of the fleshly desires. I believe Paul had a close relationship with Jesus. Paul was Christ. He belongs to Christ. And that's why he was able to not be afraid of death and remain faithful until the end. Now, friends, the time is getting short. Satan will for sure send us some death threats to make us recant. But how are we going to deal with that? Are you afraid of death to the point that you are willing to give in and deny your Lord? Today's the day to start training our minds, train our amygdala, that we should not be afraid of death anymore. I want to share with you two promises. Claim these promises and even mark it in your Bible. Remind yourself of these verses often. The first one is Mark 8:35. Jesus says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Here's another promise, John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then Jesus asked her, "Do you believe this?" I think this is very fitting for us to ask ourselves, do you really believe this? We're not talking about just understandingly say that, oh yeah, I know Jesus will resurrect me again, but do you really believe with all your heart? How are you with death? How do you really perceive death? Are you still afraid? Do you really believe that Jesus is a resurrection and that there's nothing to be afraid of? As I close, I want to share a story of a man who remained faithful because he was not afraid of death. Now, this story took place in the country of Romania. Some of you know Romania is a communist country. This took place around the Adventist church when the church was growing so much so that they needed to build a new church. So what did they do? They built quietly at night, right? So they will bring lights and quietly work on it, so make sure that nobody hears it. But they get the job done. But the police discovered that. And among these leaders of the church is found a pastor's dad. Well, the pastor's name is Pavel Goya. You might have heard the name before, but he was telling the story about his dad. So let's call him Pavel's dad. So Pavel's dad is one of the elder of the church. And the church was very self-sacrificing in a way that when the police come, all the elders basically offer themselves. Oh, no, arrest me, arrest me. Oh, no, arrest me. No. So everybody, like, I don't know, maybe four or five elders face the police and everybody says, "I'm the one that you need to arrest." The police got so confused. You can't all be leaders. I just need to arrest one. So then Pavel's dad was able to convince one of the elder, one by one, "Just let me do it. You guys are still young. There's still a lot of future. I'm a little older. I've done a lot for the Lord. If anything happens to me, let it happen to me." So they all agreed. So Pavel's dad came forward and faced the police. And basically he says, "Well, you can't really shut us down because you don't have a warrant." So the police got really upset because it was at night. So police came back later on with a warrant. And then he says, "You got to come with us. We have to arrest you. You know, not for anything. We're just going to interrogate you, ask you a couple questions." And the police says, "You got to stop building. Stop smuggling the Bibles. Stop witnessing. There's no God. If you do not stop, we are going to terminate you right here." But Pavel said, "I don't think that's a good idea. Because if you shut our church down, we're just going to be preaching in the marketplace. And everybody can hear us." Then he also replied, "You know, God is my master. I cannot stop. I do what he says. If I live, I live for him. And if I die, it will feel just like a second to me until the resurrection. And then I will see Jesus. I do not care if I live or die.
And then the phone rang. The call came from the mayor.
Terminate him,
he said on the phone. You have my authorization. He will be a lesson for everybody else. Otherwise, this people will never stop. They believe their God is bigger than us, but they need to obey the government, not their God. So we will use him to teach them all a lesson.
The officer hang up, draw his gun, push his gun into his chest. I will shoot you if you don't stop doing these things. And he says, wait a moment. And he start unbuttoning his shirt one by one.
Why would you unbutton it? You know that the bullet will go through, right?
Yeah, but it's such a pity to stain this shirt. I think somebody else can use it.
So he slowly removed his shirt. Then he says, after I take this off, then you can shoot me.
Everybody left. Only him and the officer left in the room. And the officer said, I'm really sorry, but I just have to follow orders.
Let me pray first.
What are you thinking about? There's no point of praying for mercy. There's no God that can save you.
Oh no, I'm not praying for mercy. I'm praying for you.
And then he prayed, Lord, I want to see him in heaven. I don't mind dying. You died for me, and I will joyfully die for you. It is a privilege. But Lord, would you use my death to save this man and his family? I want to see him in heaven. After he prayed, he said, now I'm ready.
He took a deep breath and heard the click of the loaded gun, and then the phone rang.
The officer hesitated, and he rushed to the phone, lowered his gun, curious who might be calling. We're in the middle of execution. And on the other line was the chief police. And he says, I just got a call from the mayor's deputy. And he says, don't touch this man, because the spirit of the living God is in him. After the mayor gave the execution order, he left the city hall and a drunk driver hit his car. The mayor is dead. If you touch this man, you fight God. Let him go home.
God performed a mighty miracle to save him. But the miracles wouldn't have happened if he was afraid of death. Only when he chose to not be afraid of death that the Lord send this powerful miracle to deliver him.
I think it's very relevant to us too. Could it be that we are still afraid of death, that we have not been able to do bold things for God? Could it be that we are still afraid of death to the point that we have not seen powerful miracles from God?
Psalm 48 verse 14 says, for this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our God even to death.
How many of you want to stop being afraid of death? How many of you choose that you want to be faithful all the way until the end, even if I have to give up my life? Because I believe in Jesus, who has overcome death. I believe in Jesus who can give me life, eternal life. And I can believe in Jesus who can restore everything back. There's nothing to be afraid. Is that your desire? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for reminding us of the beautiful promise that you've shared with us that we should not be afraid of death. And Father, sometimes we revert back into this mode, survival mode. We try with our own strength to preserve the life that you have given us. And sometimes we think that you may not be powerful enough to save us from death. But Lord, we want to change that. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Even when Satan comes to us with death threats, help us to not be afraid. Give us holy boldness, knowing that you alone can bring us back to life. There's nothing to be afraid. Lord, remind us of how powerful you are every single day. Remind us that you are the source and author of life, and you are our friend, and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, as we are preparing ourselves for the hardship of the end times that is coming, we pray that you will solidify our faith today. Help us to be faithful every single day, moment by moment, that when crisis comes, we will be ready. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches or a church listed near you on strongtowerradio.org? You'll find the Gladwin Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2336 M61 in Gladwin, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. You'll find the Marion Seventh-day Adventist Church at 801 West Main Street in Marion, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.